Hello HoneyRidge family and friends. In today's devotion, we will continue our study in the book of James as we focus on a portion in chapter 5. Remember that the book of James was written by the half-brother of Jesus to the Jewish Christians scattered as a result of being persecuted for their faith. It was written a little over 10 years after the crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Given this timeline, it is quite possible that some of the people to whom James addresses his letter may well have actually sat under the teachings of Jesus and been converted from Judaism to Christianity during his earthly ministry. So while there is much that we can draw from this passage, today we will zoom in on the subject of patience, looking at three examples of patience, three areas of patience, and three applications for patience. It is sadly true that patience, or the lack thereof, is as prevalent amongst the Christian community today as it was in the early church. So let's bear this in mind as we read from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. We see from these verses that James provides his readers with three practical and relevant examples of patience. The people of the day were men of the soil, and therefore could relate to everyday farming processes. And so, in verse 7, James reminds them of how farmers exercise patience between the time of the sowing of the seeds and the reaping of the harvest. He says in verse 7, see how the farmers wait for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Then James also refers his readers to the Old Testament prophets and the patience they demonstrated while enduring much suffering. He writes in verse 10, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Finally, James reminds his readers of the well-known account of when God allowed Satan to test Job's faithfulness to him, and the patience Job exhibited throughout those very difficult and trying times. In verse 11 we read, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So let's take a look at three areas of how and to whom these Jewish believers were meant to live out their godly display of patience. Well, firstly, to the unbelievers who were meeting out the persecution. We have already made mention of how in verse 10, James made reference to the sufferings of the Old Testament prophets. James's readers were also being subjected to persecution by portions of the unbelieving community. This persecution may have seen them being marginalized, perhaps ostracized or even victimized, and the like, simply because they were professing Christ as the long-awaited Messiah. We saw in earlier parts of our study in the book of James how he encouraged his fellow believers to to resist the temptation to retaliate against their persecutors. Next, James brings the need for patience a little closer to home. By touching on the issue of the impatience some of these Jewish believers were demonstrating in their interaction with fellow believers. In verse 9, he urges his brothers not to grumble against one another. And thirdly, twice in this passage, James refers to the second coming of Christ. In verse 8, we read, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And again in verse 9, he says, "Behold, the judge is standing at the door." So by way of application, how should this exhortation of James to the persecuted Jewish believers of around 45 AD apply to us as South African Christ followers in 2020? Well, perhaps asking three questions of ourselves would be an appropriate place to start. Question 1, how are we as Christians doing in the area of demonstrating godly patience to the unbelieving world out there? When we are overlooked for that promotion because we are too honest in our business dealings, or when we are ridiculed by our varsity or school peers for not hanging out with the in crowd because their behavior is not in line with our Christian values. Are we inclined to retaliate in some way, or perhaps harbor some level of resentment towards these people? Or do we rather exercise godly patience, being mindful of the fact that they are spiritually blind and in need of both our prayers and our Christian witness? Romans 12:17-19 reminds us to not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. Question 2. What about the thorny issue of patience or impatience towards those of our own church family? You know, those fellow believers who have a different view to that of our own, or that Christian brother or sister who seem to have the knack of doing or saying things which really push our buttons. I'm sure that we can all identify with this in some way. In reflecting on this passage from James, we would do well to remember that this side of heaven, each one of us will have our faults and weaknesses, and that we are all still a sanctifying work in progress as we walk our Christian journey. And perhaps most importantly of all, would be to remember that we are all blood-bought children of the King, and that the common bonds we share in Christ are far greater than anything which would tend to divide us. Consider too for a moment the poor witness that disunity amongst us as fellow believers is to the lost and watching world. John 13, 34 and 35 tell us, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Question 3. How are we doing in the area of patience as we eagerly wait for the return of our Lord? Did James's readers expect the Lord's return in their lifetime? Well, we can't be sure, but what we do know is that in Matthew 24:42, we are told to keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. And again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-2, we read, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." So we know that just like every Christian generation since the ascension of Christ we too need to wait patiently for our Lord's return, while living each day as if it were imminent, because only the Father knows the day of Jesus' return. So as we close, in our study of the book of James over these past weeks, we have seen several times that in the final analysis, our bias towards sinning originates in the very seat of our being, namely our hearts. Verse 8 of our passage tells us to establish our hearts in the area of patience and in the many other sinful tendencies we as redeemed sinners are inclined towards. Colossians 3:12 reminds us that as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. So may God, by the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, empower us to be patient in these disciplines of everyday life. Shall we pray together? Dear God, thank You that by the indwelling of Your Holy Spirit, You have provided us with all that we need for life and godliness. However, we confess that all too often, we are delinquent in availing ourselves of and diligently living out the godly qualities You expect of us. Impatience is an area in which we all, to some degree, fail. So please would You continue Your work of grace in our hearts, so as to enable us to demonstrate to those around us, both by word and deed, the glorious new life that we enjoy in Christ. Amen.